Good morning and welcome in to a Tuesday edition of The Blitz. Charlie Collier, Andy Brock, one only Sam Beard back behind the board as we get rolling here on this Tuesday morning live in the Fan Run Studios, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Boys, how we feeling today? We got that first show, you know, under the belts. Felt like it went pretty well.
Not bad.
All things considered. How we doing today? Sam, you doing all right?
I'm feeling great.
Anything interesting going on today?
Well, a great Braves win last night. That's what was interesting. Won by about a dozen. So
I'm feeling bad
this morning.
Cam texted me, not a huge baseball guy, but he was like, hey, there's an odds boost. It's like Mets plus 2.5, Dodgers plus 2.5. Should I take it? And I was yeah, I think that's a great boost. I mean, you got Carrasco on the mound.
Like, my best bet yesterday.
But plus 2.5. I was like,
respect for my best bet.
Which
should have been a game of the year bet.
2-1, by the way.
Yeah.
Who lost?
Mr. Beard back there.
Pretty much everything that I predicted to happen happened, but just the opposite way. Sandy Alcantara went about 8 innings and didn't give up a run. And
wow.
Turns out that the Marlins scored 3 runs, so...
It was a good day.
I
got to
take that one on the chin there.
Hey, it's a new day.
We got to track our records. I don't know.
Yeah, we should start
where we'll keep track of it.
A good start.
I'll start keeping track of our best bet.
I'm 1-0.
All right.
Andy's 1-0.
1-0.
I'm 0-1. But other than that, I'm feeling great today.
I liked you guys played the Edwin Diaz's music too.
Yeah.
Just incredibly disrespectful. I really like it. I think that set the tone.
Well, it would have been even worse if they did it on the next home run than the very next at bat. Y'all went back to back. I was hoping you'd just do it again.
Yeah, I was hoping.
That you'd save it to bust it out for when you score a run specifically on Edwin Diaz.
Yeah.
True. But you can't wait around for that.
Because
you might not get it.
Maybe like wait till the last game of the series and like, it still hasn't come yet, boys. Like maybe we just got to use it here. Except, I don't know, it does kind of set the tone for really your biggest series of the year.
Yeah.
To this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt good to get out ahead of that one and really make a statement in game one of the series. And, you know, I'm excited for what we're going to do tonight.
They have Scherzer and DeGrom scheduled to go this series.
Yeah,
again?
They do.
Again? Oh.
Mm.
So we've got our top four guys rested.
Yeah, too. I don't know how you guys just swept the Marlins without using any of your four best
with
pitchers.
With our AAA pitchers, I think.
Did you just, like, is that what happened? Did you guys just call up some dudes?
We called up two younger guys to pitch against the Marlins, so.
Because, I'll be honest, I'm the most checked out on a baseball season I've ever been. Not all the way checked out. Like,
Nats got a win last night.
Yeah, we did. It was probably
win number 40.
No, 39.
Ah, close.
You'll know. You'll know when we hit win
we'll
number 40.
We'll have a party 40. when Nats get 40.
That ever elusive 40 win mark that every other team in the MLB's hit.
I will say it was impressive that Spencer Strider took the rain delay on the chin and still came back out there. You don't see that a lot. You see a lot of guys like, all right, we're done.
I can pitch through a rain delay. But yeah, I still throw MLB big inning on the TV. And I throw like the Nats on a side TV too, but I'm not watching it every day.
It's not
like
your
I
year.
Used to. It's just hard.
It is tough.
It's hard when they're like, come on, don't you want to get excited about 30-year-old rookie Joey Menzies leading off? He's hitting 275, guys. Come on.
Not bad.
He actually is playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like maybe we just found a breakout star in 30-year-old rookie.
Got a good farm system now, building up for the future.
Just not a bad one. That's a good one now. Yeah, that's a good one.
You got a good haul for old departed Juan Soto.
Don't say those words. It still hurts. Andy, how are you today?
I'm good. Much better, honestly, I feel like, than even yesterday. I would like to say that yesterday could have been my flu day. not that I have the flu, but that I tried to make chicken the night before. And I undercooked it, so I think I was really reaping the benefits of my performance.
Did you look at the chicken?
I did. I feel like this has probably got to be close to triple digits amount of times I've cooked chicken, and I feel like I was shooting above 90% on it coming out pretty good. So I feel like this was a rare poor performance, and it unfortunately impacted me the rest of my Monday. From that Sunday night mishap.
Such
so,
a bad day to, way to start
yeah,
a week.
Yeah, it's a terrible, way, a terrible to start way to start a week.
Oh, man, that's a bad way to start
so,
a week.
So I've learned from my mistake. I might be staying away from the kitchen for a minute. I'm not a chef by any means, But in terms of morale and feeling good, I'm a much better today. So we're going to have a better show, I'd say.
Might as well. Might as well.
Why not?
No, I will. The cooking things improperly or eating bad food is one of the worst feelings because you know you did it to yourself.
I know. It's like I can't blame anything else but me.
Like I had COVID all the way back in March of, God, I guess it was 2021. I think. Yeah, that makes sense. So a long time ago.
Sure.
My smell, probably 15% right now still.
Wow.
Like to this day. It was 0% for at least a year.
Wow.
And no, the smells aren't correct either. Like they're all just weird. And most of them are like a lot of things have the same really bad smell. And it's not really a smell I had smelled prior to COVID, but it's kind of like sewage.
Oh,
so that kind of sucks. But then, like I can't
that really sucks.
I can't like taste things normal either, and like now it's gotten to the point where things that like what used to taste all right, like when I would eat something, I'd be like, yeah, this tastes all right. Prior to COVID, like now that's oh, this is awesome, and then everything else is just below that because it's you know the scale shifted. But I've run into the problem like where I can't smell or taste that something's bad,
ooh,
or something has gone bad.
There could be some pros to that, though. You can eat more vegetables.
But I also just get sick sometimes.
Okay, all right.
Like the day before we played Campbell, I got home and I ate some watermelon, and it had been in the fridge for like a week, maybe, and I didn't really
couldn't tell
about
the difference.
I couldn't tell the difference at all, and then I started feeling bad, and then my roommate went and smelled that watermelon. He's like, "Yeah, this is awful. Why would you eat this?" So like things like that happen because then I just threw up for like 24 hours. But
yeah, sometimes you can only blame yourself.
Sometimes you can only blame yourself.
It happens to the best.
Anyone gonna ask me how I'm doing today? Or you
yeah,
guys?
How are you, Charlie? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm ready to have a great Tuesday. Honestly, I went to the movies yesterday. Went and saw Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Oh, you had said you've been wanting to see that one.
I've been really excited to see that
one. I know we're on the movie critic kick this week.
Oh, I got to review it.
Did you review it? Oh, no. Okay, let's do it.
Let's do a live review.
Let's do it live right now.
Live review.
No spoilers, though. I haven't seen it. I don't know.
I don't put reviews in the spoilers. I was the only one.
You don't
one.
Put reviews in the spoilers?
I don't put spoilers in the reviews.
There we go.
Either or.
I mean, I don't think I do either. But I
hope not.
No, I've actually, like, I get on my phone, too, for the previews at this point. Because even the previews give away too much. I used to be a huge fan of the previews. Like, I would make sure I was there early enough to watch all of them.
I have seen the preview for this movie, and I feel like they just tried to put as many Pete Davidson clips as they could in the trailer. So
they did.
People would go for Pete Davidson.
All right. It's going to get 3.5 stars.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's probably better than I would have expected.
I get that it was kind of the point. But I hated all of the characters so much that sometimes it made the movie frustrating to watch.
That doesn't sound like a 3.5 star rating.
No. Other than that,
that sounds a little lower to me.
It was a very entertaining,
okay,
and somewhat unique story. Although I did predict the ending.
Mm.
However, I'm just good at predicting endings.
Okay. This is not your first time.
Yeah, I guess it's just a me thing, you know. Review done. 3.5 stars.
All right.
Logged.
Well done.
Simple as that.
We're movie critics.
No, I will say the characters, I hated them. Like, I hated them so much. And, like, it was supposed to be like that. Like, it was, I guess, you know, it was... not like satire necessarily, but like, I mean, it was intentionally over the top, like the characters were. But man, they made me so mad. All the entire time, they made me so mad.
Yeah, I couldn't say that was one that was on my agenda of
really
of getting to the movies to see.
To me, that was like that's the second most excited I've been to see a movie all year.
Really?
Yeah, behind Vengeance. Like Vengeance is the only one I've wanted to see more.
I've only seen one movie in the theater, I think, in this entire year.
Really?
Like, I'm not a huge movie person.
Didn't you just say yesterday?
I'm becoming a movie critic. Like, we're on the road to recovery here, where we're trying to be more of a critic. But I still just watch all the classics. I don't know. I'm still trying to get into it. It's baby steps.
There's nothing to me better than just a mid-afternoon weekday movie. It's like Mondays are usually my day off from everything. Like, I don't ever have any play-by-play. I don't ever have any like other work at all. Just I'm done when the day is over. So if it's a nice day, I walk over across the Gay Street Bridge, just go for a nice stroll, enjoy the the afternoon, and walk all the way down the movie theater and just pop in, see what's about to come on, and pick one and go in. So that's what I did yesterday, and I was the only one in the theater too, which is always my favorite.
That's always awesome.
And if you go see a movie at 3 p.m. on a Monday,
nobody's going to be there.
It's probably going to be that way. The employees, like, all of them looked like they just were so excited when I walked in.
They might have been a little shocked to see you.
Well, I kind of made it difficult to pick which line I wanted to go in, because they were just three dudes standing there.
All waiting for someone.
All looked like they had not talked to another person in days, really. So I picked the oldest man, and he was really nice. So I think I picked right. But 3.5-star movie. I'd probably go see it if I were you. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to go see it. But if you're like, I got some free time, I want to see a movie, I'd pick that one.
Did any of you watch Better Call Saul?
Is that happening currently?
The finale was last night, so it's over.
Because I know that people have been really talking about it a lot lately. I was going to watch it after Breaking Bad, but Breaking Bad was so like stressful, I guess, that I just decided to take a break, and then I never got back into it.
It's very good. That's how I spent my night last night, wrapping up the Better Call Saul series. Definitely recommend it.
And you're happy with the ending?
I'm happy with the ending. I mean, there are some people who are – it's hard for everyone to be happy with the ending because it's just, you know, the ending. And sometimes it can be anticlimactic. But I'm happy with it. I wasn't expecting anything.
I'd say like 75% of shows' endings are
it's impossible
like have people
sometimes.
Upset. I'd say like really only like 25% of shows have a good ending.
Yeah, just because it takes away the mystery of it. And once it's finally revealed, there's always going to be about 50% of the people to complain. So I wasn't complaining.
I need to get to that. It's on my list. I still got to go back and finish The Sopranos. I got to like finish. I stopped watching. It got too hard to get through. I got to go back.
I haven't done that one.
I might have to just sit there and babysit you and have you watch Sopranos there next.
I would just get hungry. Like that would just be the Sopranos experience for me. Is be like, yeah, these guys are cool, and then I'd be like, I could go for some meatballs right now, man. I could go for some pasta, but man, we're off and rolling here. In the Fan Run Studios, we'll hop into some more Tennessee football news on the other side. Oh, great choice, Sam. Oh, yeah. That's maybe the thing I'm most excited about not being on Talk Sports anymore is that I liked... They're Billy Strings. They had a Billy Strings song. They had that song from the Righteous Gemstones, Misbehavin'. But like other than that, they didn't really have a lot of good songs that they came back with, man. That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, day two so far, 2 days in, I'm loving the music we got here.
I spent a long time
done a good job
filling up that page over there, all those six pages with the coolest songs that I could find in our database.
Charlie's got some good ones back here.
A lot of country.
Yeah.
Oh, someone also, Jared tweeted me, it's not Edwin Diaz's music. Contreras has been using it all year. Diaz just gets the credit because he plays in New York.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I'm not a Braves fan, so I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
I mean.
Because I haven't, you know, that was one of the first games I've watched in a while, just kind of sitting down and watching. So I thought maybe it was a shot at
That's news to me, to be honest with you. I haven't heard that yet, but
it can be both. I think it could be both. I think everyone was thinking maybe
that's Wild Bill's song. That's not Edwin Diaz's song.
That's true. He doesn't have a claim on it.
Wait, so who hit who? I'm now.
Okay. So Diaz wasn't pitching.
Right.
It was
yeah.
It was just William Contreras who hit a home run.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that so must have been his home run song.
So they're just saying that's just his home run song. Okay. I guess
that makes a lot more
sense. I haven't been watching a Braves game with the volume on to see Contreras hit a home run at any point.
Yeah.
Ever.
That is like a, you know, an ultra fan like fact that you would know. So good job.
I used to be into it. I used to, when the Nats were good, I would have their walk up songs ready to go.
Okay.
At home sometimes for big games, maybe.
See, I feel
it's not crazy.
The Red Sox play the same song no matter who hits a home run. It's always like, I forget what song it is. It's like that Dirty Water song. It's like that shh, 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 and it plays for everyone's home run. So I figured it was just kind of like up to the stadium's discretion, but I like it.
If I had a home run, I'd want to play Afternoon Delight.
What? All right. Just a chill stroll around the bases.
Well, no, I picked that as I picked Dixieland Delight as my walkout music back in high school, like from the bullpen or whatever, or just like my warm-up music in general. And it was my buddy's dad that played the music, and he played Afternoon Delight instead. But then I kind of liked it, so like he just played Afternoon Delight every time I would warm up, and I was a big fan. So that would be my home run trot music. But boys, we're getting even closer to football season as we have an AP poll.
We do have an
AP
poll.
We got a coaches poll last week, but let's be honest, like those coaches aren't really all concerned with a preseason poll. You know, they look at what it was last year and they just kind of put it in. You know, I don't think anyone puts a lot of stock into it, but you know, the AP poll, I think that really, really starts to signify that football is right around the corner. I'm not like a huge fan of overreacting necessarily to preseason polls, but Tennessee finding themselves unranked. When you look at this AP poll, Tennessee with, 180 points, they're the first team out of the poll and the others receiving votes category. So really the 26th ranked team in the country, there is almost a guarantee that Tennessee's ranked in week two, I would say.
Well, it just depends, I guess, on what happens above them and if, you know, they blow out Ball State enough.
Because, like, if you beat Ball State, presumably going to be some top 25 teams that lose.
True.
And, you know, there's probably going to be some other teams outside of the top 25 that pick up a nice win or two.
There could
maybe
be teams,
against
though,
these top 25 teams, but
I haven't seen the teams directly below Tennessee, but they also could have a more impactful win than Ball State and leapfrog. That
the teams directly below Tennessee are Texas, Iowa, Penn State, LSU, and I'll go ahead and include Fresno State, too. So looking at that first week then, Texas, I believe they had a warm-up game before they play Alabama the following week against – yeah, they have a little warm-up game against ULM. They're 38-point favorites. I don't think that would be necessarily enough to leapfrog you in itself, but like maybe they would just to set up that Alabama game as
a
ranked
that
matchup.
Top 25
you know, people
game.
Like to do that. You look at Iowa. Iowa in their week one, they host South Dakota State.
Okay.
That's not really that's really in
it's not a resume
in all seriousness, just a dangerous game for Iowa to play South Dakota State at noon just because South Dakota State has a good amount of offensive firepower and Iowa starts Spencer Petras at quarterback, so they don't. If that defense is caught lacking a little bit early in that game, honestly, that could be dangerous for Iowa. So I don't see them, you know, really convincingly doing anything. And then Penn State,
theirs is
right
weird.
There as well.
They're on Thursday.
Yeah, they have a Thursday game on the road at Purdue.
How about that? Right out of the gates.
I like that the Big Ten's giving us some games right out the gate. Like you have that Nebraska-Northwestern game and Dublin-Ireland on the 27th. And then that opening week, you do have, you know, the Purdue-Penn State game and Illinois-Indiana. Like, you don't get a great game by any means, but, you know, you get interesting ones, at least, conference ones. But, you know, maybe if Penn State goes on the road, beats Purdue, like, that's enough as well. And then from there, you know, LSU is that next team, but there's a pretty big difference in the amount of points that they have in the poll.
Yeah.
compared to Penn State, 160 versus 55.
Florida State, though, on that Sunday prime
time. They do play Florida State. I have Florida State winning that game, just personally. But now when you look at the top 25, so we think that Texas and Penn State could potentially jump you. So we would need, you know, maybe three teams to fall out of the top 25.
Or just a convincing enough win.
Yeah, or just a convincing enough win. But
because it could also, like Texas and Alabama, Pittsburgh and Tennessee that very next week could end up being a well-marketed top 25 matchup.
Right. So in that week one, you know, Pittsburgh does have West Virginia. Pitt, a seven-point favorite. Like, you know, if Pitt loses that game, I would imagine they would drop out. Other than that, I mean, Cincinnati plays Arkansas. That's 19 and 23. Like, maybe you have the loser of that game fall out.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that could be one spot there. Houston has to go on the road to a UTSA team that was undefeated last year for the majority of the season. You know, there's potential there that 24th-ranked Houston could fall out. Other than that, though, like, I don't really see any teams that, you know, look like they could lose and fall out. So I think you'll be right there on the cusp in the shallow 20s, but whether we take it as a big deal or not, which I'll go ahead and I'll ask you guys, big deal that Tennessee is not ranked? Do you care? How do you feel about it?
My opinion, I'll jump in first. I know it, you know, sometimes coaches will say that it doesn't matter. And you know it really doesn't at the end of the day, especially preseason. You just haven't gotten out there to prove where you are. And obviously unranked teams end up being in the top 10 sometimes. Unranked teams have gone on to do big things. And you're right there, so it feels like you're kind of ranked when you're not. You know, you're just like literally one spot out of it. So you kind of assume it. Hey, you take care of business. You're going to be ranked at some point this year. So it shouldn't be like a worry, but I think the one thing that I feel it's like, you know, rankings do unfortunately like kind of dictate hype around a matchup or a team. Like the fact that, you know, we have a chance, or Tennessee has a chance to play a top 25 game earlier than normal, should be something that they should strive for. They should want to make that Pittsburgh game a top 25 game. And I think it does maybe even put a chip on their shoulder if not already. I don't know if Coach Hype on the team was expecting to be ranked. I don't know if they look at that, but if they could see that they're one away, give them that little extra motivation to start the season strong and show that they deserve to be in that top 25.
Yeah, I'm not worried too much, to be honest with you. I think that, honestly, I think that maybe not being ranked is a good thing. Just kind of having that chip on your shoulder, like you're saying, Andy, coming in with a little bit something to prove in week one. Obviously, you're not playing a perennial matchup week one, so you know, you're coming out there and you've got something to prove. You want to get ranked. You want to have that matchup with Pittsburgh, like you're saying, to be a ranked matchup. Because I think that game really dictates what we can do with our season. So I think that, you know, you just kind of take care of business early. And then I think that Pitt game is really important for our season, just building on momentum and hopefully that we have going into that Pitt game. And, you know, I think that kind of game with Pitt is something that we can do to step onto the scene nationally and prove that, you know, we belong there this season. I think that we should be ranked, but I don't think it's a concern necessarily that we aren't ranked right now.
Yeah, you guys both said it, you know, chip on your shoulder, and that's a pretty cliche phrase, but I mean, that's what I would say the same thing. I do think that you're kind of in the perfect position to where you're not so far removed from the poll that your perception nationally is below what it should be, but you know, being just outside of the poll, it does allow you to maybe find some extra motivation and put a little bit, you know, more behind it to put that chip on your shoulder, like you said. And preseason rankings to me too are just, it's such an interesting concept to think about, because we're ranking these teams off of their rosters and what they did a year ago and their coaches and just like what their national perception is. And then, you know, there's nothing that we've really seen concrete from a football perspective this year, those versions, these teams, to put them in that order. I mean, obviously you can project certain things. I get the idea of projecting, but then, you know, the rankings are based off of the projections the rest of the year. Like, two Power 5 teams could play each other in week one, and one could be ranked 10 and one could be ranked 45, and the one ranked 45 could soundly beat the one ranked 10 and still probably be behind them the next week, just because our perception of that team that was ranked 10 before the season was, you know, was better than that of the team that was ranked 45. Like, that aspect's always been weird to me, because they're all based off of each other, but you don't actually know anything to base those initial perceptions anyway. You don't really want to be too far from the poll, though. I mean, you know, out of the top 25, just because, you know, if you're, you know, if nationally you're seen as like the 35th or 40th best team, then it's harder to be taken seriously later on in the year if you do start winning. But I like the spot that Tennessee's at. You know, should they be ranked higher? Absolutely. They should be ranked higher. When you look at this top 25, again, you know, your top 10, Alabama, Ohio State, 1 and 2, Georgia, 3. Clemson up there at 4, kind of interesting. You know, I guess at the end of the day, their down year was still winning, was it 9 games or 10 games last year? Either way, like, still winning some football games and still playing some pretty good football by the end of the year. But it is interesting that they just get the luxury of jumping back up to 4, even though they still have DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback for, you know, at least for now. I think there's a decent chance he does lose that job throughout the year, but he will be their starting quarterback for now. So I find it weird that they are all the way back up at 4. But Notre Dame 5, you know, A&M 6, Utah 7, Michigan 8, Oklahoma 9, Baylor 10. Like, I don't really have a huge issue with any of those. But from here, would you say that Tennessee is better than Oregon at 11? I'm not saying that Tennessee should be ranked 11th, but I think that Tennessee is better than Oregon. I mean, Bo Nix and Dan Lanning, you know, in both of their first years in Eugene, like, that to me isn't all that scary. Oklahoma State at 12, they lost a lot from that defense that was really good a year ago. That defense kind of carried them at times, but, you know, they do bring Spencer Sanders back. You can make an argument, though.
They also lost their defensive coordinator as well.
Yeah. So you can make an argument that Tennessee's maybe better than Oklahoma State. You know, stop me, either of you guys, if you disagree. But, you know, 13 NC State. I mean, you know, they're gonna have a pretty good year. I think I would have NC State ahead of Tennessee. Devin Leary and company. Like, that's, you know, for now, sure, I can see them being ahead of them. USC at 14. That's kind of a team that I have an issue with, just in general, the way that we've been talking about them this offseason. You know, we act like just because you went and got Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams that you're immediately going to jump into the national title conversation again. But he took over a roster that wasn't really in all that good of shape. You know, you're going to be starting a young quarterback that still has a lot of room to grow, that is getting treated like he's already a superstar. He's not there yet to me. You know, I think that we're kind of putting the cart before the horse with him. Is that how I use that? I saw that. Yeah, fair. I've been trying to work that one in.
Okay,
we've been putting the cart before the horse. I mean, yeah, we obviously see the kind of special skill set that he has, but
yeah, I just think so much of it is hype around these polls. Sometimes it's just, you know, what looks pretty.
That's my biggest problem, I guess, is that.
And I mean,
Caleb Williams has looked bad in games, like against Oklahoma State wasn't great, like against Iowa State, I think he threw for under 200 yards. Like, against Kansas, he had to have a weird, like, fumble lateral type thing on fourth down to even win that game. you know, I think he's still got room to grow. Like, again, special traits, yeah, but not developed enough to be 14th in the country. I mean, sure, you got, you know, Addison, and you got the freshman of the year in the Big 12 at receiver. So, like, you're going to have some weapons, but that defense has holes. That offensive line has holes. So, I don't know. I'm not big on USC. Give me Tennessee over them as well. Michigan State at 15. I'll take Tennessee over Michigan State. I get they had a special year last year.
Do you think Tennessee should be in the top 15?
I would have them, yeah, right around 14 or 15. Miami at 16. Tyler Van Dyke, good quarterback. Yeah, they built a pretty quick and decent offensive line. I'll leave Miami there. Pitt at 17. I mean, I think Tennessee might be a favorite there on the road against Pitt. So, that should tell you enough. Wisconsin at 18, I think, should be significantly higher. I would take them over Tennessee. Arkansas, just off of merit right now, they're in a better place. I think that, you know, Tennessee might be better than Arkansas by the end of the year. But
I'm kind of glad Arkansas at least got some respect.
Yeah, they deserve it,
yeah,
most definitely. Kentucky at 20, I think you're better than Kentucky. Ole Miss at 21. I mean, what do they really have that scares you this year?
That was kind of the one of the six SEC teams in the top 25. I was a little confused how they were at 21, I guess, because I just have a lot of questions about them still. There's just so much kind of uncertainty.
Someone has liked my bodies review. So
there we go.
Someone agrees.
That's huge.
I didn't know that you
could
do that.
That's one
like. Yeah, I think Ole Miss is not all that deserving. And I think maybe even Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, you know, if you made him take some truth serum, I think he'd probably tell you that right now they're not the 21st best team in the country either.
Rat poison.
You know, you're breaking in Jackson some Dart. Like, you know, you went and got Zach Evans, but
there's just a lot of questions.
There's a lot of holes, and like, you lost Sam Williams and Chance Campbell from your defense, like your two best defenders
you're putting from a shaky
defense.
A lot of trust on some portal guys working out. You know, your linebackers are pretty thin, and then the quarterback stuff. Like, well, what's going to happen there? Still kind of trying to figure it out, I guess.
And Wake Forest at 22. Well, Sam Hartman's gone, so I'm going to go with a no there, but we don't know. I mean, maybe some of these votes were casted, obviously, before that news. Cincy at 23. Yeah, you got to give them the respect off the undefeated season. We'll see how they replace and, you know, plug and replace. Houston at 24, I would have them higher. And BYU at 25, I'd actually have them higher. Mm. So, you know, I think after all of that, I would probably have Tennessee right around that 15 mark, maybe a couple spots higher. And I don't think that that's unfair. When you look at these specific voters, the majority of people actually, maybe not the majority, that's why you're not ranked, but a significant amount of people had Tennessee in that 21 to 25 range. You know, that's why you narrowly missed out. I mean, you were right there. The highest that you were ranked was by Mike Barber from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He had you at 15.
Okay. That's a good range. I mean, 15 to 26, that's kind of what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think Tennessee's like should be right around 15 to 16. Realistically, what is the highest that we think Tennessee can peak in the polls this year? Do you think that Tennessee can crack that top 10 at any point this year?
Well, I think any given season you can, and I think they're set up in a good way to do so. I mean, imagine going into that Alabama game undefeated, which, you know, could be a possibility. You have big wins over Florida and Pittsburgh, and then you go on the road and beat an LSU team. I mean, technically you're ranked higher than Florida and LSU right now, so you would maybe think that Tennessee's the favorite in those games. I know going to Death Valley probably won't be the favorite. I don't know. It just depends on how LSU looks at that point. Depends on how Tennessee's played up until that point. But, I mean, you think if you go undefeated for that stretch and leading into an Alabama game, you would imagine you'd be right there, if not 10, maybe top 12 at that point. And then obviously, I mean, if some people projected Tennessee to be 10-2, if you're 10-2, I mean, you got to be in the SEC 10-2. That's top 10. So I think if that's the ceiling, then that's top 10 worthy, is it not?
No, I would agree with you. And I want to talk more about this too on the other side. We need to go ahead and catch a quick break here, but yeah, that's a question I want to pose to y'all as well out there. What do you think the highest that Tennessee can peak in the polls this year is? And again, our phone lines are open. If you want to call into the Big Orange Philly phone lines, that's 865-546-8200. Andy says top 10 could be reasonable. Well, we'll talk more about it on the other side. Stay with us here on The Blitz. Back here on The Blitz as we continue to talk the first AP poll of the year. Before the break, Andy, I asked you, you know, what is the highest that you could think Tennessee, you know, could peak on the polls this year? And you painted a scenario where you get into the top 10, you know, where you could potentially end up 10-2.
Yeah.
I think I agree. I think that it's not out of the question at all that by the time you go to LSU, you could even be close to that mark because, you know, you are
got a good resume
going to beat Ball State. Just right now, you're going to beat Ball State.
Locking it in.
You know, the next week, you're going to play a Pittsburgh team that's solid, that has some pieces on their defensive line still, and you know, they have Slovis, but they're going to try to run the ball a lot more. Like, I think that that team's going to be a little bit more dysfunctional after Narduzzi and his offensive coordinator basically broke up, despite how good of an offensive coordinator he was, just because Narduzzi wanted to run the ball more. So, you know, I think you're going to beat Pitt that second week. I think you're going to beat Florida. You know, at least
forgetting Akron.
That's I mean, you're going to beat Akron too, but I think you're going to beat Florida, and that's always hard to say in August.
Yes.
I mean, how many times is someone sat in this chair in the last, you know, however long the station's been around and said, oh, I think we're going to beat Florida, and looked like a fool?
I mean, probably a lot.
But I think you're going to beat Florida.
It's a tightrope. Like, all these games are really close, but you think about it, they're all doable games. I think you look at the schedule up until Alabama. Alabama's probably going to be the first team that's a large favorite over this Tennessee team. So these are all games with one team in there that's only ranked above you in this AP poll. You've got an LSU and Florida team who are right on the hunt. I mean, both in the 30s, and that are obviously really good opponents. You play one at home and then one on the road. But those are games where you still could be the favorite. So, you know, if that path ends up working out in Tennessee's favor, and, you know, somehow they end up with a 10-2 season. Like, if you're 10 wins in the SEC, toughest conference in football, how can you not say that's a top 10
right.
team?
So, I mean, Florida, they start the year hosting Utah.
That's not an easy
game. As an underdog. I mean, top 10 Utah,
yeah, that's
like favored to win the Pac-12, some people's surprise playoff pick, Utah. I think they lose that game.
I 100% think they lose that game to Utah.
Then, you know, how do you bounce back from your debut loss as a head coach when you have another top 20 team coming into your building the next week? I mean, Florida hosts Kentucky.
That's not an easy start to the schedule.
ESPN FPI gives Florida a 51% chance to win that game as opposed to a 49% chance for Kentucky. So that's a toss-up.
That's early.
And then, you know, they get a little bye game against South Florida basically before they come to Knoxville. But, I mean, Florida could be reeling.
Yeah.
Like, Florida could be 1-2. Yeah, you know, is it more likely that they're 2-1? Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, two games that one's going to be a 2.5-point spread, and the other's probably going to be, you know, you're a 2.5-point dog against Utah. I'd imagine you're probably around like a 1-point favorite to 1-point dog against Kentucky at home. So, like, odds are at home, both of those games, you split them and you're 2-1. But still, you know, you could be in a rough spot coming there. So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Tennessee's going to beat Florida, I guess.
On August 16th, this is the official statement.
I guess I'll say that. I mean, I haven't released my official SEC picks yet. You know, it's Mountain
True.
West.
True, we got to wait for those.
We're unofficially beating Florida.
Unofficially.
So here. if you're 4-0 going on the road to LSU, you know, a lot of it also depends on what's happened in front of you. But
true.
I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable to think that you could be in the top 10 by then. Or right around that, like, 10 to,
you're
to,
definitely
to 12 or 13
point.
Range. I mean, AP poll 2021 week 4. Let's see what that looked like by that point. Because
then I got another question for you.
Yeah, you got another?
I've got a question for you, yeah.
Oh, man. It won't let me go back and look at last year's AP poll now that the new one's out.
It's a new year now.
Well,
no looking back.
Never mind. We're not going to look at the 2021 AP poll unless I can find it between now and then. So, what is your what's your question?
Yeah,
should we save it for the other side, because we do have one more break to take here?
Oh, it's up to you.
Well, I think that you're going to be ranked close to the top 10 in conclusion here by the time you go to LSU. After LSU, I think if you win that game, which I don't want to necessarily say you do, but I don't want to say you don't either. So if you do, then I think you're definitely in the top 10 for that Alabama game. And 10-2 is not off the table. And if you're 10-2, like you said, you're in the top 10 and you're playing in a New Year's Six bowl game. And, you know, there's a very, very slight chance if some other Power 5 conferences go awry, like, you're maybe even hoping a little higher. So we'll see. We don't want to have the craziness here in August. But, yeah, I think there's a pretty realistic path to being a top 10 team at some point this year. But Andy's got a question for me on the other side. If you want to call in, give your take on where Tennessee ends up, again, Big Orange Philly phone lines are open, 865-546-8200. Got to take one more quick break before we wrap up hour one. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Wrapping up hour one here, a little Vol football discussion is we do what we always do and maybe get a little too excited in August. So it's a tradition unlike no other. But Andy, you said you got a question for me. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. I just want to know your opinion on the teams that are ranked in the SEC versus the teams that are unranked. We talked about Tennessee likely at 26. Should be able to sneak into the top 25 at some point if things go well against Ball State, and then you assume a win against Pittsburgh, you're in the top 25. What's a team that's maybe unranked from the SEC that you see also getting in the top 25, and then maybe a team that's in the top 25, those six teams from the SEC, which one do you think falls out first, and then is there a top 10 team that you think is overrated?
So excluding Tennessee from this discussion, an unranked SEC team that that should end up or could end up ranked at some point. To me, I lean either Mississippi State or South Carolina.
Okay,
and I don't want to go into South Carolina too much, just because, you know, if their schedule is different, then yeah, I think they would maybe find themselves jumping into the top 25. But they have to go on the road to Arkansas week two, and then week three, you know, they host Georgia. So, you know, they're just going to start the season presumably 1-2. You can get to 3-2 with Charlotte and South Carolina State, but I think that they'll be close at times and maybe have some moments. But Mississippi State, they host Memphis to start the year. They'll definitely be looking for some revenge in that game. Then they go take on Jed Fish in Arizona, which is one of my favorite games of the entire season, just in terms of the wackiness of it. Not in terms of like this is going to be a great game like a Notre Dame, Ohio State, or anything, but the fact that Mississippi State is playing at Arizona at 11 p.m.
Wow,
is one of the 11. Funniest things in the college football season to me. Like, there is no scenario where that game isn't off the rails.
I think I love any time the SEC plays the Pac-12.
I do too, and I don't really know why exactly.
It just feels
but it's
so
just,
different.
It's like we get
it's
a little taste of our own Pac-12 after dark.
When Tennessee went to Oregon, that was just really cool. I mean, you go into Cal Berkeley. Yes. It's just special.
Remember when Louisiana Tech ended up with a 4th-and-goal that was like 80 yards away against Mississippi State after the ball was fumbled and then kicked across the field?
Yes.
I have a feeling that we're going to get a play of similar chaos levels here in this game.
I can't wait for a Scott Van Pelt crazy cover. You know, what is that segment that he
bad
does?
Beats.
Bad Beats.
I
There's going to be a great Bad Beats segment for that game.
So that's week two. And then, you know, so I think they start 2-0. Week three, they go on the road to LSU. And they've had LSU's number.
Yeah.
Really over the last 5-6 years, like they've had LSU's number. And, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit hour two when we get to that LSU news, but I mean, just to make it abundantly clear, like, I'm as out on LSU this year as anybody. I don't think they're going to be a good team. I think they'll be battling with Auburn for last place in the West.
Wow.
So,
which is crazy that Auburn is number 36 and they're projected last in the West. That's the worst team ranked in the SEC West. It's crazy how strong the West always is, though.
So, give me Mississippi State starting off 3-0, Bowling Green, week four. Dangerous Falcons. But 4-0, yeah, I think at that point, even really 3-0 with a win at LSU and at Arizona, they're ranked. So, I think Mississippi State's that team that's unranked. As far as ranked teams, I mean, we already mentioned it's some Ole Miss to me. Like, I'm not a huge Jackson Dart believer. Like you said, they're going to have a lot of portal guys hit, you know, be hits. And then you said top ten team that you think, or that I think is overrated. I mentioned that I don't think Clemson should be that high, But the team that I really am not a fan of, that everyone is just assuming is going to be this great team, is A&M.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're a bad team by any means, but they still just look like the team that wins 8 or 9 games and, you know, maybe has an upset, but also gets upset at some point. And that's that. Because you're going to have Haynes King, and presumably as a starter there. I mean, I think he will eventually win that job if he hasn't already. That's nice. You know, Anaya Smith, like, insanely fast. Devin Achane, insanely fast. They've obviously recruited well, but that roster still doesn't quite do it for me. And Haynes King is essentially still a freshman, even though he's a sophomore. Like, he's had time in the program, but not the playing experience because he got hurt right off the get-go last year. So, to me, A&M is that team that's ranked too high. And, yeah, I guess that answers your question, Andy.
Good job. Did well.
I would ask you the same, but it's 10:57, so, hey, hour 1 done. Hour 2 on deck. Stay with us here on The Blitz.